Thank you, Ms. Clark. What a blessing. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Go to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 2 this morning. I'm going to preach on the subject, Onward Christian Soldier. I will ask you to kind of take notice while you're turning this morning. I haven't said much about this, but we put the mission card in the pew in front of you, and I'll ask you today, if you want to, take one of these with you, and then pray about it this week. Begin the prayer. We're going to set our goal on December 1st. So we won't kind of really, we're going to take everyone. If you already know what it is that God laid on your heart to give, then fill that out, tear it off, drop the small piece in the offering plate, and they'll begin to add that up. It will be easier on Brother Brian if you do it over several weeks instead of everybody doing it the last week. So if you already know, you've already prayed about it, but I'll just say this, it's good for husbands and wives and families to pray about this together. It's a great way for you to prepare your young people to give. They shouldn't figure out what giving is when they become an adult and leave your home. They ought to learn how to give when they're inside your home. And again, even if they don't do anything like we're doing right now, we're doing the change offering for most of our kids. Even a child that gets interested enough to find coins in the couch cushions to give to missions, it'll build a love for God and a love for missions at a young age. It'll be easier for them to be able to give their tithe and to give to the Lord's work and to do that happily with joy than to do it begrudgingly. Amen. And again, sometimes when they get older and they get to the place where they got their first paycheck, you can always tell because they watch. They know they ought to do it, but they watch their money go down the aisle right in the plate. Amen. And you don't want your young people to grow up that way. We want to do it, give them a heart for giving. And the way we do that is to include them in that, hey, mom and dad are doing this. Is there something that you want to give to missions as well? So they'll find if they're going to Sunday school, they have a card that they can fill out too. It's different than this one. That way we know it's coming from a child, but we want them to fill out a card as well for what they're giving to missions. We want to start at a young age. It's important. This money right here, and again, we got to finish our goal. This is missions month, so each Sunday night we'll be having a different missionary for the rest of the month. We had a great missions conference this week. Heard so much about a lot of foreign missions, and then Friday night we had three different men that were really, I consider, home missions, although one of them's been serving in Paris, amen, Brother George, but all of them were trained here and back home to let us know what God's doing in their lives. And so if you missed it and you want to go back, it's all on the internet. You can get that right on our website. But tonight, Dr., amen, Carlos Donate will be preaching here in our service, so don't miss that. He's been here with us. He's been over in the Spanish ministry for much of the conference, helping out with their missions conference, and now tonight is going to preach to us. So you be back tonight and hear him preach. I'm heading over to the Spanish church, so I'll be here to do the announcements, but I'm going to preach in the Spanish church tonight on missions, all right? So after the announcements, I'm going to slip out and go over there. You say, do you know Spanish? No, but I know a man that does, and I'm going to preach in English, and he's going to translate. And if he doesn't translate what I say, I'll know, because those people will smile. And I got one of them. I got like a person that's going to hide out and let me know whether he doesn't translate it right. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we are focused on missions, and one of the great missions that the church has been given is the Great Commission. And although we're talking about getting the Great Commission around the world, we still have to be focused on our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, right here in our area. We do that with our buses. We do that throughout the year. It's our focus. We track it. We put numbers. I like what Dr. Pitt says often. He'll say, we count people back on that board because people count. We don't do that so that other people, we don't broadcast that. That doesn't go up on our website, how many people we had in church. We do that because we want to record the souls that were inside the room because they're important. It's what we're about. It's what the Lord gave us to do. And so for all of us, in talking about Onward Christian Soldier, I just want to talk a little bit as we begin here, before I pray, about my focus of the message with Onward Christian Soldier. I believe that we have all feeling the glow and the gloating of the victory that has just passed. And if we're not careful, we've been so focused on political things and how that was going to change spiritual things for us, at least in our ability to serve, in our ability to give. It's been so focused on us. If we're not careful, we won't keep our focus on the Great Commission. we'll get our focus on, we'll leave it out there on political things and financial things of this world, and we'll leave it. And folks, I'll just say this, just because one battle has been won, there is still a spiritual war that is raging. So don't allow yourself to sit down and to take a rest because there's been a battle won, and we should say amen. We should get excited. It's all right to sing, we're on the winning side. Amen. And I believe that we're a lot better. If you looked at just the news a little bit in the area of political things, people around the world are already starting to tighten up. You know, I don't know if you've been watching the news. Putin already decided, you know what, we might start talks and peace talks. You know, I don't know if the election had anything to do with that, but I think it did. You know, Iran, North Korea. I'm just kidding. I was just kidding, right? Again, so I'm just saying that doesn't mean that it's always going to stay that way. But folks, if we're not careful, we'll keep our minds solely and focused on those things. And folks, I'm going to tell you, we prayed and we prepared because, again, we know that that is going to affect us. But we don't need to let the political things affect us so much that we don't keep doing what God called us to do. What Jesus left his church here to do. So today, Onward Christian Soldier is the message, and the focus is that we are close to Veterans Day, and we ought to serve God as a good soldier. And he says so here in the scripture. So before we read it, if you found your place, I hope you've got that. Can you say amen for me? I don't hear the pages turning anymore, so let's pray and we'll get started with the message. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for your church, Lord. I thank you for the great commission that you've given us. I thank you for being able to have a missions month in a church that desires to really focus on missions, Lord. I pray you'd help us reach this year's goal. I pray, God, that you would help us and you through the cards that we would be able, with a faith promise from your people, be able to set the goal even higher for next year. God, I pray that we're thankful for what you've done and how the election went, Lord, but help us not to be so focused on a past win, Lord, that we get out of the battle. Lord, help us to not be so focused on the winning this particular place that, Lord, we lose our focus, that the world is still lost and dying without Jesus Christ. Help us to soldier on for you until you come. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and many of you, these are familiar words. If you're not careful, you'll think, because so many tell you, people tell us that teach the Bible, that this is a pastoral epistle. All right? They classify books because of this is who they think it's focused at. All right? Timothy is a young man who is being instructed. For all of us, no matter how old we are and came in the building, we should not measure ourselves necessarily by the age or the hairs of our head that have turned loose or turned gray. But we ought to measure ourselves by our maturity in the scripture. We ought to measure ourselves by the maturity of our devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ when we're focused on spiritual things. For many of you that are inside the building today, if you were to just kind of mention and think about yourself, then many of us would have to say, if we measured ourselves that way, we'd say we got some things that we could still learn about the Bible. We got some things that we could still learn about the battle. There's some things that we could still learn if we would listen and tune in. There's some things that we could still help out with in the cause of Christ if we looked and we prepared and we trained for those things. One of the things that had been mentioned that we've already started and we really want to double down in the next couple months is our Bible handout ministry. You may not be able to go door to door, but if you can make it to one place and sit down for about an hour or two and hand out Bibles, or someone else sit down beside you and you can share the gospel with them, then you can do that. And it's a way to continue on. You can't go door to door like you used to, but you know how to give the gospel, and you can set up shop in one place and wait for people to come to you. You say, preacher, they won't do it. Well, you come out and watch them do it. They do it every time we set up and put up a sign for free Bibles. People come and get Bibles. And every once in a while, a few folks will sit down and listen to you give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I can do that. Well, again, then we want you to come out and do it. You say, do you think I could do it? Well, I know you could come here and sit down for an hour or two. Amen? Because it's air conditioned. That's why before we really pushed, we waited till it got a little bit cooler. Now, for some of you from the north, you don't think it's cool yet here. But it's getting cooler all the time. Amen? Look at the scripture with me and let's begin to read. We all know for a soldier or a young person, again, a good soldier, that they're going to endure some things. And look at with me in verse number 3. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I want you to put down number 1 this morning for all of us. And again, not a deep, deep message, but a reminding to every one of us who are veterans of the service to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are Christian soldiers. If you're like that this morning, then you need to be reminded that your purpose is to please him. It wasn't that long ago for our teachers and workers meeting that we had a theme of pleasing him. It helps us on a day-to-day basis because all of us, whether you like it or not, are going to have to endure hardness. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" I mean that I know how deep in debt our country is. And it doesn't matter who's in the White House and how rich he is, he couldn't pay the debt if he wanted to. You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to do? You're trying to get us upset?" No, I'm just trying to tell you, just because we had a momentary victory doesn't mean the battle's won. It doesn't mean that hard times may not come. It doesn't mean that there's still not opposition, not just politically, but there are spiritual things that are warring against every one of us, and we need to prepare ourselves and go on, Christian soldier, being ready to endure hardness as a good soldier. Now, I'll just say this, it's almost laughable for us to understand and think about what we welcome and what we have to come to us as enduring hardness. I would to God that some of the pictures that we showed, and we could take you to third world countries that serve Jesus Christ where it is illegal to serve him and they got to serve God underground. They can't have a choir that sings out and lifts up their voice to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but they soldier on and endure hardness as a good soldier. You don't think that they would love to be able to have a church like ours and have a platform where they got a choir setting up? You don't think that they would love to go out in the street and hand out Bibles and preach the Word of God? All you say, people aren't like that. All you got to do is dial your mind back just to a few years ago when COVID came. And there are places that before COVID acted like that. Locked everything down. Wouldn't let people in the door. You couldn't sit too close. And folks, just because of a disease, you say, "Well, that was okay." What about just for religious persecution? That happens all around the world. And the virus that they're afraid everybody's going to catch is Jesus Christ. And for all of us, we've got to understand that we have to prepare ourselves with a mindset like a good soldier to go forward, that the battle's not won, it isn't over, we've not crossed over, we've got to still continue on being a good soldier. You say, "Preacher, you're just beating a dead horse." No, I'm trying to beat all the horses that are in the battle to go on. You say, "What do you mean?" Listen, I told you before, my home church has got horses. And you know one of the things the liberals don't like is when you hit the horse to make him go a little harder. You say, "Preacher, you calling us horses?" You call it what you want. At least I didn't call you a mule, right? I'm just going to tell you this morning, we've got to understand, but we carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. It ought to be what's in the saddle. We ought to be able to carry the gospel witness to the battle on a daily basis. We ought to be war horses that carry the gospel of Jesus Christ into the battle. And we need to run. And every once in a while, it'd be good for us if we were to give ourselves a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of plugging on and go harder. I used to ride the horse and they'd say, "Don't that hurt the horse?" I said, "That don't hurt that horse." Have you ever felt a horse kick another horse? If you've ever been kicked by a horse, you know that that little tiny piece of leather that hit him didn't hurt him one little bit. All it did was wake him up and give him attention that he needed to go on. His endurance was an issue. He began to sweat as a horse, and I was running him a little bit, and it was past his comfort zone. And that's when you make it a little bit chipper. You say, "Preacher, you didn't really do that." Boy, I wish you could go back. When I was a little thinner, Back a few years when I'd climb up as a youth pastor, and these boys will tell you, we had this flag race, and we'd run out there, and we'd go out, and we'd have a flag in our hand, and we exchange flags in the bucket. Now, it's one thing to ride a horse fast and stay on. It's a whole nother thing to lean off the side of it and stab flags and pull flags, and then run for home. And I'd run through, and I'd stab the last flag and turn my horse for all she was worth, and she'd come back around, and I'd pick the, everybody thought I left the last flag, and I'd come back and grab my last flag and head for home. And I'd pick that horse up, and as soon as she'd get her head down, and I could tell she wasn't giving me everything she had, and I had reins. I got to pick my own saddle because I saddled the horses. And the set of reins I had were about 5'2" long for most people, but I knew what they were for. And I would go in, and I'd snake down on that thing with one hand, and I'd start hitting that horse from side to side with my reins. And her ears would go, boom. And she would pick up her pace. She had a brand new gear. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Onward, Christian soldier. The scripture, when we're in the Bible daily, ought to be like a piece of leather from the outside cover, getting us on both sides of our hip, waking us up to the fact that there's a cause that for us to live for, that we ought to endure hardness as a good soldier, that just instead of sitting in the corner and sucking our thumb, we ought to get back in the battle. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Listen, I'm so glad that, we're on the winning side in the election, but how would you have been this morning if you weren't? Would you have endured hardness and go after the things of God just as hard as you always were? But listen, how much better is it this morning to be on the winning side and to take in a battle? But it's not the last one. We ought to press on. I want you to see number two. Look on with the scripture with me and just see this with me tonight. I want number one, onward Christian soldier. I want you to see endure hardness. Remember those that chose you to be a soldier. Read what he says here. I want you to see, he says, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath called or chosen him to be a soldier. Do you remember who chose you? I could go to Ephesians chapter 1, and you ought to write it in the scripture with you this morning, but in verse 3 and 4, it tells us that God chose us before the foundation of the world in him to be saved. By the time you get to verse 7, the Bible will tell you that Jesus purchased you with his own blood so that he could redeem you back into himself. And in verse 13, it says the Holy Spirit came in and sealed you until the day of redemption. That means there's a shield, a seal on the soul of every Christian that's in the battle. And as a good soldier, you ought to realize that you're not just chosen, but you're marked by something that's different. You have some power living inside of you called the Spirit of God that you never had before to be in the battle and to win the battle. You're equipped for the battle by the Spirit of God. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm saying onward Christian soldier because you got power that you never had before you got in the battle. For all of us, we need to remember that we're not fighting this battle by ourselves. We're not fighting this battle in the flesh, that we need to go forward. That's number two, forward, Christian soldier. If we're going to go onward, we got to go forward. You say, what do you mean? I mean forward. Onward means wherever we got to go, down, up, in the valley, on the mountaintop, whatever it is, we're going to endure hardness as a good soldier. Forward means we're going to press forward. Every one of us can recognize for what we've been praying for, we've been longing for, we've been voting for, that we just won a battle. It's not time to quit, it's time to press forward. It's not time to slow up, it's time to go on. If you have a victory, it gives you a better stand. It gives you more ground to take on and to fight the battle. For all of us, it's not time to slip up and to set up and just sit around. It's time to go forward. Now we have hope that not only will we not be imprisoned for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the economy may be better. We have hope that, man, there's going to be some things that changes. There's some things that change for the better for the gospel's sake around the country and around the world. For all of us, let's go forward. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at it with me. I want you to look in verse number 8 in the same chapter. Chapter number 2 and verse number 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He tells us not only he goes onward, we endure hardness. We need to be able to go forward and endure all things. Do you know what some Christians, soldiers, cannot endure? Good times. You're prepared for the hard times because Jesus is all you got left and you can hang on to Him. But how about when you're prospering? How about when you're doing well? And the preacher gets up and he says, "Hey, we had a good vote. Everything went well. We're hoping that you've got a good picture of the future economy and things that might go on a good direction." And instead of making a faith promise in that direction going forward, you make a faith promise, "Well, I don't know." Can I just tell you that there's nothing that you're going to hold in your bank account? You're not going to be able to take your car, your property, your bank account, your gold, your silver coins. You can't take any of that to the bank of heaven and lay it at Jesus' feet and hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." If you're going to receive reward on that side, it's got to be given here. Your life as a Christian soldier has got to be laid down here on this side of heaven. You can't lay it down once you cross the swelling tide. You'll not take your home. You can't lay your mansion that He prepared for you down at His feet. It'll only be crowns that have been won on this side of glory. You say, "What else can I take with me?" I'm glad you asked that. I look forward to be able, looking in that line and seeing I'm not the only one trying to get reward. My friends and loved ones, my family, will stand in that line. Now, they won't wear my crowns, and I will not wear those, theirs. But I can take things that I've laid up in store. They're going to be waiting for me there. But I think what's most important in this hour for all of us is to realize we all have family. We have loved ones and friends all around us. This morning I had a wonderful testimony in our Sunday school class of somebody that had a coworker that got burdened about spiritual things. You know what changed his life? The same thing that changed yours, the Bible. Somebody gave him a Bible. He began to read the Bible. And then somebody, he said, I need to know some things. He gave him a tract that had what it was in it. The Bible, it just had it boiled down, focused more on the gospel. Read that tract. What happens then? Most of them say, "What must I do to be saved? What are you working for?" When you're around your friends, what do you want to hear from their lips? You're a good friend. Man, you're great. You're the best friend in all the world. The best friend that never shared the gospel with them. The best friend that let them go through this life and think that they're just going to die and be in the ground, that there's not a heaven and there's not a hell. Folks, I'm going to tell you, after a wonderful victory, we need to go forward. There are folks all around us that desperately need the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, "What do I got to endure?" Maybe all things. What will they say? I don't know. It falls under all things. I may lose a friend, yeah, but that endure all things. I may lose prestige or my position. Yeah, you may have to endure all things for the cause of Jesus Christ. But the witness of Him is worth it. We not go onward, we go forward. How about this one? I want you to look on with me. I want you to remember the mission. Look at verse 14 and 17 here. He goes forward. How we go forward? We have to remember the mission. Of these things, verse 14, he says, "Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Look at what he says in verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Phileas," he says here, "who concerning the truth erred, saying that they," what? "The resurrection is already past and overthrown the faith." Do you know that for all of us, we could read through this, but the wonderful verses that follow that is, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." Look at verse 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." I want you to take from this, we not only as a going forward, how are we going to go forward if we argue over things that we already know are so? There are people, and recently I mentioned this, and I won't take off on a tangent, but I told you there was a recent debate about the readability of the King James Bible. At the beginning of that debate, they said, "We're not going to argue the textual issue, we're just going to talk about the readability." Folks, you can't get to readability until you pass by critical texts. You can't throw out, why would we give our kids poison? Why would we take any amount of little drops of poison? You say, well, it's not that many changes in that version. See, the idea was, is the King James Bible still readable? Amen. It's perfect. If it's perfect, it's readable. Amen. If it's inspired, it's what God gave us to read. Why are we going to argue about a perfect, inerrant, preserved version of the Bible about whether little children can read it or not? Do you know what I have to do, we have to do here? You know, they can't read their ABCs when they come into school. They have to be taught that. Do you know, we give them little books and it says, see spot run. They can't read that until they're taught. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, you know what the Bible says to all of us? You say, preacher, listen, before you get off arguing about words with everybody, how about if you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? Before you jump on the bandwagon behind anybody with a doctorate before their name, how about if you get in God's word and you study it for yourself? It's really hard for any parent, anybody, to make a decision against a Bible that has spoken to them and changed their life. The problem is the people that are ready to jump ship on what they know is perfect and preserved, they've never been in it themselves. They've heard it preached to them. They've heard it, I mean, they read devotions in the morning, but they've never really read this book. They've never really studied this book, because if you did, you'd get all the way down to verse 9, and you say, it ain't worth arguing about little words. It ain't really worth arguing about all these little things. It's about this. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. When you know you got a strong foundation and you found the perfect word of God, you ought to stand on that. That's why as a church, we believe that the King James Bible is the perfect inerrant word of God. And we don't just believe that every nation should have that in their own language. I'm thankful that I know exactly where that is. Do you know that there are other churches out there that hand their people a version because they're like, I don't know about it? The Spanish Bible. Do you know there's been a battle here in our church about the Spanish Bible? Because it's not that many errors. You know what people want to argue when we say, does it line up with the King James Bible? And they go, oh, that's not very smart. You got to go backwards as a doctor, and you got to be able to go all the way back to the originals. Where are the originals? Oh, so you've been to heaven and you've seen the originals. Because I've read the Bible, and the Bible says that the originals are in heaven. They're forever settled there in heaven. And I know here on earth, the originals no longer exist. You say, preacher, you're getting off on this. No, I think you ought to go forward, Christian soldier. Marching as to war. Prayer and the Bible are the two weapons that God has given us to work. He's empowered us with the Spirit of God to be able to interpret this book, to be able to study it and to know it, and to pray and ask His help when we don't. We ought to go forward. We ought to remember that our mission is important. That our mission isn't to argue with all the other Christians to convince them of something that they should already know and would come and believe if instead of writing books about the Bible, they actually read it. They would find out that the book stands sure. The foundation is sure in God Almighty. They find out that the Bible is forever settled in heaven, and they would seek to match it up with what we know has been used and honored and matches throughout the ages. Hey, you say, preacher, I don't want to get... Listen, I'm going to tell you, remember the mission. I'm not going to... You say, preacher, are you going to get a bunch of people here and have a debate? There's no debate at Landmark. What is the Bible? There's no debate if the Bible is readable. Why waste your time? Those same people that will line up and spend all their day ready to debate what is the book, I want to find out the last time they hit a door or went soul winning. I want to know the last time they ever spent a day on a bus route. I want to know the last time they ever really read the book and understood the mission. Because the mission isn't debating each other what is the truth. The debate isn't that. The command from God is to take this book and to share it with the nations. to tell them about a Jesus who has come from heaven and died on the cross and rose again in power. Is it readable or not? Hey, I'm going to tell you, it's not only readable, it's preachable. It's teachable. It's a book that has power. It changed me from the inside out. I'm not the same anymore. So I'm going to go onward. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to go upward. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Listen, this is a battle. Turn with me to chapter 4 and see as a soldier. I want you to see this. I've got to hasten, but he gets to the end and he charges him. Chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Folks, I just want you to know, you need to go upward. You know that I realize in these last days, what is written here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 has already come to pass, that we live in a day of age where people want to debate everything, and even people who so-called claim to be saved and understand the Word of God, some that claim to be independent, fundamental, Bible-believing brethren, instead of getting after the cause, have gotten up and made their own cause, and they're trying to drive their own battle. They're trying to stand on things that they may lose their reputation. Listen, it doesn't matter about that. My testimony is bound up in Jesus Christ. For me to live, right, is Christ, and to die is gain. When did we stop believing that? When did we stop living that? That's an upward battle, because the world itself, it says, for the time will come. It has come, folks. They will not endure sound doctrine. We have to endure hardness as a good soldier. We have to endure all things. And now, in this age, we're going to have to endure those that would battle over things that are settled, that are going to heap to themselves teachers, because instead of doing the work, they just want to talk about the work. They just want to have a Bible study about what they ought to be doing instead of doing it. I'm glad, listen, the Bible says we ought to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We ought to gather together and hear the good word of God preached. We ought to go onward, forward, and upward for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is going to be an uphill battle in this life. If you're going to serve the Lord, not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to take your hand and give you a hand up on the next step by. Most of the time on your upward battle, you're going to have people trying to pull you down. They're going to try to cast you down. Why? Because they got time. Because they're not about their father's business. They're about their own business. And if the Bible and the Word of God and your witnessing crosses their path and pulls down anything that they are saying, they're going to try to pull you down with them. The time's come, folks. They're already heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. But he charges them to preach. Be instant, in season, out of season. Look at this. How about this? Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Do you think the average church member today really likes reprove, rebuke, and exhort? Most of us don't like to be rebuked, do we? We don't, you know, to reprove. When I reprove my children, they don't often look at me and say, thank you, Daddy, for reproving me. Exhorting means to build them up. Do you know in every preaching session, anytime the preacher is going to try to reprove things you're doing wrong, he's going to tell you how to do it right. Take this out of your life and put this in your life and be better for it. You know, when I teach my children and I tell them you did this wrong, you should have done it this way, son. Because I want them to be better. I don't want to just tear them down or correct them. I want the correction to be teachable time so that they grow up and they're exhorted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, I'll say this. A good Christian soldier ought to be heavenward. Do you know what? If we're not going forward, if we're not going onward, if we're not going upward, then what are we doing? Going backwards. We're going wayward. And all of us, if you're saved or not, listen, saved or not, all of us are going to stand and give an answer to the righteous judge one day. But there's two different judgments. One is going to be in heaven, and one is going to be called the Great White Throne Judgment. One is going to be not judged for your sin, but one is going to be for the Christian that has accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, that knows he's born again and on his way to heaven. That person will stand before Jesus and not answer for their sin because Jesus paid it all on the cross of Calvary, rose again in power, and will be seated at that judgment seat to say, here's all the opportunities of ministry that I gave you to be a good soldier. And he's going to take, and just like a soldier gets a review, when you have to go in and you have to stand before the general or the leader, whatever it is that's over you, he's going to give you a review of what kind of soldier you really are. Whether you've marched straight or whether you've got off and got wavered. Whether you did exactly what you ought to do. We're going to stand before Jesus, and not because of sin. That's going to be buried in the deepest sea, but I'm going to have all the opportunities that they gave me. Hey, I've been issued the uniform of being a Baptist. I've been issued the King James Bible. I've been issued a weapon. I've been issued prayer that I can talk to a heavenly God and he can change things on my behalf. He's going to say, what did you do with my weapon of prayer? I'm going to stand before him and I'm going to, listen, he's going to go through my account of a soldier. Folks, many times we don't think about our opportunity when we go heavenward to stand before him and not answer for sin. Because I'm looking at a bunch of folks inside this room today that have been saved long enough, you've had opportunities to be a good soldier. Could I ask you today, if we were to pull out your file of your service to the King, what would be on your record? How many opportunities have you stepped in and fulfilled for the Lord Jesus Christ? But how about this? How about for everybody that doesn't know Christ? You don't get an opportunity to hear about whether you were a good soldier. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You won't get that. You'll stand before the righteous judge at the great white throne judgment because you rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior. You never accepted him as your payment of sin. You'll stand before that and you'll hear from him, depart from me, I never knew you. And you'll be taken by angels and cast in the outer darkness. You say, preacher, that's awful. That is. That's why we have a mission. It is the goal of this church for no one in Haines City and Davenport and Winter Haven, everyone, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. I don't want any of them to be able to stand in that line and look at us and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you send us a missionary? When you had opportunity, why didn't you send me Bibles? When you had opportunity, why didn't you pay for tracts? I would have listened to a tract. Why didn't you witness to me? Folks, I don't know about you, but I plan on going heavenward. Not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did for me on Calvary. He paid my sin debt. And I've desired for a long time to be a good soldier. Because I realized one day I'm going to stand before him and he's going to pull out my file. And he's going to read me everything. Actually, the Bible says I'm going to give my own account. He's going to hand me the file and let me read it back to him. With tears rolling down my cheeks, I'll remember the good times. There'll be good tears. Some will be tears of not joy, but sadness where I had opportunity to serve him and I chose to do something for myself. Can I just tell you? But listen, there will be another day. You know, the tears aren't wiped away that day. I'm going to be present at the great white throne judgment, standing on each side of the aisle, and I'll watch people pass by me, people, some I never met. But when I read that file, I'll realize that I was given opportunity in a missions conference, in a missions month, to take part of this. And I said, no, you know what? I better hold on to that. God spoke to my heart and told me another week, you ought to give that to the Lord. And I say, no. And he gives me another opportunity to be a good soldier. And I say, no. And then one day, I won't think about it again until I stand before Jesus. And in my giving an account, I'll read 2024 Missions Conference at Landmark Baptist Church. You were asked to consider the cost. And I spoke to your heart. I drew you near. I gave you a little extra money. I said, if you'll promise it, I'll give it through you. And you said, no. And we'll stand at the great white throne judgment. And we won't know what country it'll be at, but that day we will. And a person we never met, a country we were never called to, a person will walk by and they'll be telling all kinds of people that didn't witness to them But they'll look at us and say, you didn't give. You didn't go. I mean, I don't know what it is they're going to say, but I know this. We'll look down and we'll see blood on our hands. Because that was to our account. We were given opportunity to be a soldier that stepped up and soldiered on for Jesus Christ in an area of giving or going or witnessing or doing that which God had commanded us to do. And well, I know for me, I can only speak for me. Can you imagine the shame? I wouldn't be able to look them in the eyes as angels drag them from my presence and cast them in the outer darkness. There is a reason that Jesus Christ is going to have to wipe away all tears. Not just for the ones that we love and our family that would not accept, but for people that we never knew that we needed to be a good soldier for them, to endure hardness, to endure all things, even to endure the uphill battle of brethren that want to battle us. This morning, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as Savior, you need to accept Jesus. Because if you don't accept Him as your Savior, that is a choice to reject Him. There's a heaven and there's a hell, and we clearly have spoken about that. Without Jesus Christ, no one is making it to heaven. He said that clearly in John 14:6. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I didn't make it exclusive. God and His Son made it exclusive. It's the only way to get to heaven. You can't get in by your good works. You can't get in through baptism. You can't get in your church service or church membership. You can only come through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him today, would you accept Him? Would you accept Jesus? Would you call upon His name? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're a Christian here today, let me ask you this, the final question to believers, those that are on their way to heaven, are you a good soldier? Are you a good soldier? With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Dear Lord, I pray this morning as we prepare for invitation that You would do what I cannot do, that Lord, You would take those that need to be saved this morning, Holy Spirit, and draw them into Yourself. Help them during the invitation to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Help them to have boldness, a holy boldness to step out and come. Draw them to Jesus Christ. He's been lifted up today. I pray, God, that You would be with our saved members and folks that may be visiting, that, Lord, that You would have helped them through the message. Lord, I pray that if we have not done all that we can to be good soldiers, help us today to reenlist in the army, in the mission that we know so well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning? If you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, would you meet me here in the front? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. The invitation is to you to step out and to come and receive Jesus Christ. Would you do that as Brother Burt sings?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healed of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning in an attitude of prayer, praying for folks that need to be saved? If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you step out and come? Folks have already come. They're hearing from the Word of God, and the invitation is to you to step out and come forward. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around, if you don't know where you'll spend eternity, if you're not 100% sure that you're born again, that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you step out and come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. As Brother Bert sings, while heads are bowed and folks are praying, would you step out and come?
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen. Let me just say this as we get ready to end the invitation. Maybe you couldn't bring yourself to step out and come forward this morning and do business with God. You know you need to be saved. Would you do this for us after the invitation today? Would you just come to me, some of the ushers in the back, and just let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. The worst thing in all the world would be for you to come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached and know that you want to go to heaven, but you don't know how, or you've never accepted, and leave here unsure of your salvation. Please, please make that sure today. Don't leave this building. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We preached about a good soldier and a good future, but Jesus could come at any moment. I hope you'll do that today. Amen. Amen. All right. We have one card here. Some folks have come. We're going to share with you. You can remain standing, I don't think. And we'll have them stand. Thank you. All right. Mr. and Miss Fellows have come this morning. All right. If you'll stand, if you can, just for us, and just stand right up here with them. Miss Kelly and Brother Perkins will come with them. They've come this morning accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the church said, amen. 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 And we're going to talk to them about baptism, but we want you to rejoice with them in their salvation, amen, this morning. So I'm going to close in prayer, and if you would, come by and shake hands with them. Tell them how wonderful a decision they've made. Now they passed from death unto life and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for this wonderful couple coming today and receiving Jesus as their Savior. I pray, God, that you would help others, if there's others in this room, that need to make that decision. They're good people. They're good moral people. But what they need is Jesus in their heart. I pray, God, today that they would step out and grab somebody that's got a Bible and say, would you show me how to be saved? I pray, God, you go with us. Give us safety now. I thank you for our veterans. Lord, help them to have a wonderful Veterans Day tomorrow. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.